Well, good morning, everyone. We celebrate and honor mothers today. If you're a mother here, would you please stand briefly so we can pray over you, and then we're going to have another time of that. And I'm going to say this too. If you've ever, hold a second, wait. If you've ever experienced a miscarriage or anything of the like, and somebody said, you're not a mom because of that, it's a lie from the pit of hell. And so I want you to be able to stand with, because in God's kingdom, there's fullness of life right now, okay? So let's go ahead and give honor to them. Now y'all were clapping, so go ahead and give honor to the mamas. So wherever you're at, reach out, lightly touch one of them, and we're going to pray over them right now, okay? Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for these amazing women. We thank you, Lord, the prayers that they pray that we never hear, but you do. We thank you for the dreams that they have that we never see, but you do. We thank you, Lord God, for the heart's desire they have to see their children healthy and whole and knowing you. And we pray right now that you would release over them a kingdom anointing for motherhood unlike they've ever walked in before, that there would be a refreshment of dreams, a renewal of hope, and a fiery passion to see every single person they encounter be mothered into knowing you in such a powerful way. And so we thank you and we honor them right now. And it's in your kingdom come, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll have a seat. Yes.
Hey, everyone. How you guys doing this morning? Ooh, I like that answer. I got an answer. Sometimes we ask the kids, what did we just learn? So I'm happy to hear a response. I always give stickers out to those who respond. If I had stickers, I'd give it to you all. I just want to let you guys know that for the past couple months, and we will be continuing throughout the summer, that our toddlers are learning all about Jesus and how he is our daddy God, and how he is just like our earthly father and even better and above and beyond, and how he takes care of us. He loves to play with us. He hears us. He snuggles with us. We can take him anywhere and talk to him at any time. And so we are just drilling that into our children, that God is real. He is your father, and he is always there to protect you and to love on you. So I just wanted to give you guys a heads up on what your toddlers are learning. And if you guys have anyone who is 4 years old up to fourth grade, they started last week learning Let's Just Laugh at That for Kids. And it's all about ripping out the lies that the enemy has been telling us our whole life and telling them the truth. So last week they learned that's not fair is a lie. And that it wasn't fair that Jesus died on the cross for us. It's not fair that we have grace. It's not fair that we have mercy, but we have all those things. And so we don't look at our brother who got an awesome birthday party and say that's not fair when yours is 2 months away. And to kind of rip those things out. And so each week we're going to learn those common sayings are lies, and they're things that keep us down, and we're going to learn the correct answer and what to say. And so you guys will see your children get these declarations. Ask them what the lie is. I didn't put the lie in there on purpose so that you can ask your kids what the lie is. And then there's declarations underneath. So last week when it was, that's not fair, the declarations were, God always has the best for me. My life is special and unique. It will look different than anyone else's. I choose to think more about what I have than what I want. So I just want to let you guys know about that. We'll be doing that the whole summer. And also, the lovely slide is up. Kids Worship Night with Dance and Flags will be coming up June 9th. All the information's there. During this week, if you guys want, register your kids. Okay, this is for the children who truly love to dance and do the flags. Okay, we're going to keep it just to that, and so that we can help them and build them up in that so that they feel confident and strong dancing in front of others, not worrying about them, but knowing that they're just worshiping the Lord in that. So if your kids are interested in that, please sign them up. It's going to be a really fun time, and I'll see you all there.
Yeah, y'all please give her just honor, because she does an amazing job with our children's ministry. And I just want to say this too. If you have not yet found a place to volunteer and serve, in Legacy, or if you've already found a place but you're looking for more, I would say there's great opportunities within the children's ministry. We still have a need for multiple teachers to fill out our schedule, even more so, and some helpers and stuff. And so that is the amazing woman that you can talk to, and she'll get you connected in. And let me say it this way, too. In covenant, we do things out of love, right, and dedication. In a contract, we do things out of obligation. And the church was never meant to be a contracted organization. It was always meant to be a covenant family. And out of covenant, I serve because I'm serving out of love, right? Not because I have to, but because of the love I have for him and the love that he gives me to be able to touch people and impact people. And so if you say, well, I'm not qualified, well, Jesus qualified you. And if you learn to hear his voice and the Holy Spirit and the instructions that Erica gives all of our teachers, you'll do nothing but succeed, and you'll actually learn from those kids. I learn more from those kids than sometimes I do even in my own personal time, because the way they hear and see things and talk about it, and I just love asking my kids, so tell me about this, or what was God saying to you? And the way they express it, it's so, I overcomplicate things so often, and they'll say it in such a simple way. I'm like, gosh, man, that's profound and deep. And so I encourage you to be a part of that. We need to do that. Also, with Papa Jack and Mama Frida, last week I actually was able to snag, before they left Kingdom Life, a couple of their books. And one of the things you can be praying for, I kind of talked to Chris about this, but we're going to try to find the right way to do this. But I know we want to have a resource table, a resource library. We don't have like a library, but a resource center to wherever you can get some of the books and the resources that are out there available to it. And so I was able to grab from Tim, Jack's son, Frida's book, and also Jack's new book, Cosmic Initiative. I know last week there was a run. Somebody purchased all of Charles's books, and they went quick. It was awesome. And we're going to be looking to get some of those in as well. But Jack's book on the Cosmic Initiative, if you've been hearing us talk about the Kingdom of Heaven for any period of time, maybe this is your first weekend, and what do we mean when we mean the kingdom of God? This is the best book I've ever read about the Kingdom of God. And I've read a lot of different things. And the way he lays it out, I would say this is entry point number one for the Kingdom. And there's some other stuff that's out there, but make sure you pick it up. It's $15, and you can get it afterwards. And then Mama Frida's book, From Hitler's Germany to the Cross of Christ and Beyond, it is riveting to read and know the history. And all of us have got stories where we felt disappointment, I would say. I mean, if you're human and you've been breathing more than 2 minutes on planet Earth, you've probably had a story where you felt disappointment or frustration, or God, are you really there, or do you love me? And the way that God took Frida and her life story from that place into a place of ultimate significance in Christ is powerful. And so I encourage you, these will be over at the information table afterwards, and we've only got 5 of each, so get them while they're hot, and we'll be working on getting more of those later. Thank you, Mike. So, if you have your Bibles with you, opened up to 2 passages of scriptures, Galatians chapter 3, and then Genesis chapter 2. So put a marker in Galatians 3. We'll get that in a little bit. And then open back up to Genesis chapter 2. Should be easy to find. It's at the beginning of the book, past table contents and maps. And, of course, I'm going to read a whole lot more scriptures other than that, but we'll get there. So the title of today's message is Kingdom Empowered Women. Let me hear you say, Kingdom Empowered Women. And as I've been really, percolating, it's been like, how many people have ever done crock pot meals? Right? You throw it in and you let it sit for a while, and it percolates, it stews, and then all of a sudden when you come out, it's good, it's tender. And so this concept's been in the crock pot for a couple weeks now, as I knew that Mother's Day was coming up. And I felt like the Father wanted to release a specific word to every woman in this place. And what I would say is God designed you to be in a kingdom-empowered woman, that you were never designed to be anything other than a kingdom-empowered woman. Anything that's tried to empower you outside of God's kingdom has been less than his greatest for you. Any experience that has been outside of his kingdom experience is less than what you deserve and what he has planned for you. And the challenge is when we go through life sometimes and we have experiences that are less than what God paid for and what he planned for us. And not coming to this place where we go, gosh, I've got this real experience, this real hurt, and I'm going to share some stuff with you today. But this real hurt, and not letting that define God's plan for you. The devil wants nothing more than to redefine the Father's plan for your life, just like he did with Adam and Eve. What did he do with Adam and Eve? Did God really say? What is he doing? I want to redefine in your heart the Father's intention for your life and for your purpose. And he will use any circumstance. And I don't believe the devil's behind every shadow and things like that. Okay? Sometimes people do stupid stuff. Sometimes people do hurtful things. And it's not because the devil's empowering. It was just hurt people, right? Or circumstances happen. And so I want you to look at this. But the enemy will always use a circumstance to try to redefine to you what your kingdom purpose is. And he wants to empower you through hurt, through shame, through guilt, through condemnation. He wants to take what is less than God's best and use that as a fuel to keep you out of God's kingdom, from experiencing God's kingdom. He wants you to be 100 miles away from God's purpose for your life. Now, the good news of Jesus Christ is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That it doesn't really matter what the devil has intended for us. His intentions can never outweigh God's purpose and plan. His intentions can never really, truly redefine God's purpose for you. He will get you to think like that's the case, but it's not really the case. That's why when Jesus came and says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he's saying, think differently than you've ever thought before. Because the way that you're processing your existence and your life is through a lens that's other than my kingdom. And I want you to have an encounter with my rule, my reign, the way I do business, the way I do life, the way I do family, the way I do one-on-one relationships. That's what God says. I want you to come into the realm, the rule, the reign of who he is at every point of your life. And it says this in Ephesians 3:20, for we are God's masterpiece. Let me hear you say masterpiece. Masterpiece. Ladies, you are God's masterpiece. Men, you are God's masterpiece. Children and teenagers, you are God's masterpiece. Scripture says it, it lays it out. And the enemy is going to try to come and convince you that God messed up with you. The other people around you are God's masterpiece, but God had a bad day when he made you. Can we be real? Is that not some of the silly lies that we can come underneath? And what he's saying is, no, you are my masterpiece. And it says this, he has created us anew. Let me hear you say anew. In other words, brand new. In Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Which means that every single person in here, every child, teenager, and adult, has a God-given destiny and design and purpose. And God did the work in advance, so all you have to do is step into it and be empowered into his purpose and design for you. But it must begin with the fact that you're a masterpiece. If you think that you're not a masterpiece, but you're an afterthought, then every experience you have in God and in this world will always fall short of your expectation. But if you come into an alignment with the realization that God is who he says you are, you are who he says you are, that every experience now from here until eternity that you have will never come under your expectations, but it will always exceed your expectations. The only time God really disappoints us is when we have thought less about his true nature and our true nature. Let me say it again. The only time that happens is when we've thought less about his true nature and our true nature. But when I realize I am a masterpiece. In fact, right now, where you're at, I want every single person, and even if you're listening to the podcast right now, I want you to do it in your car. Repeat after me. I am God's masterpiece. I am God's masterpiece. Do it one more time. I am God's masterpiece. I am God's masterpiece. Let me hear you say this. I am unique. I am unique. And I'm just like he wants me. But he has the authority to transform me into more what he intended. So he doesn't need you to change for him to love you at all. So when we talk about transformation, we talk about change. It's not because you're a screw up, you're a mess up, or any of those things, or you're a sinful person. It's none of those things. What he's saying is, I love you completely and fully, and because I love you, and because it's so deep for you, I have a purpose and a plan for your life. I want to bring transformation in your life, not because you have to earn my love, but because of my love, I want you to experience. Let me hear you say experience. He says, I want you to experience the fullness of being a masterpiece. And when you become a full masterpiece on display for his kingdom, when people walk by and they go, man, God is good. They come up to you and goes, what's different about your life? And you say, I'm a masterpiece and so are you. Do you want to know what that means? I mean, we get weird sometimes and we use hyper-religious language, but what if you just tried that for once? I've started doing this when we go to restaurants and in different places, and it's asking people, if God could answer one prayer of yours, one desire of your heart, what would it be right now? And you know he's going to answer it. And just the step back of like, oh gosh, that's kind of deep. That's kind of, what would that be? The reason he's asking you that is so that your heart, your desires will come into alignment with him being a masterpiece. The reason you had that desire to be great is because he planted you with it. When he was painting you, he says, this is great. And inside their heart is greatness. Ecclesiastes describes how we have eternity inside of our heart. We were made for eternity, which means even people who are lost, who are not born again, that if they died right now, they would go to hell, are God's masterpiece. And they need somebody to tell them about his goodness so that they can become the fullest expression of what he intended when he created them. You're saying, well, what does that have to do with Mother's Day? Just wait a second. To best understand this idea, we must first understand God's original purpose and design for humanity. So open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to pick up in verse 18. This is a creation account. It says this, the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now let me ask you a question. Who was with Adam in the beginning? It's not a trick question. God. So did God just say that Adam was alone? Now I just heard this the other night. It was actually a phenomenal statement. He said that the second that we have an encounter with God, we need somebody to share it with. Like when it's not good for us to be alone because it's not just us and him, it's his creation. And we need somebody to walk in the expression of the kingdom. It's not good for us to be alone. So this is in the beginning. But there was no sin yet, yet it wasn't good that he was alone. And so out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. There's this idea in some circles that we're not supposed to co-reign with God, or we're not supposed to be in partnership with God. God created it, but he gave Adam the permission to name it. That means when you go back to biology and the names and those Greek names and all the big, I mean, Adam was able to name that. Do you get what I'm saying? He was given permission to be able to co-labor with God, and it was a great permission that he was given. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field, but for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him, just like him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the place of the flesh in its place. By the way, somebody asked me one time, what's a biblical justification for being slain in the spirit? Going, here's right here. I believe the spirit of God put him in a deep sleep. When somebody goes down in the spirit, slain in the spirit, however, whatever terminology you want to use, and they go down, it's not because they wanted to go down. It's because God put them in a deep sleep and they were open to what God was doing. And I believe that God wants to do something inside of you if you'll be willing to surrender and submit to him and allow him, God, whatever you got to rearrange inside of me, rearrange it because I need you. That one was for free. It says the Lord caused him to sleep. Okay, then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Now, I want to stop here real quick. The Hebrew word here translated as rib is actually a mistranslation. Everywhere else, this word is tesla. It actually means side chamber. Let me hear you say side chamber. And so if you think about where is the side chamber on a person, it's right here. Like the cavity of the chest. And we think, well, that was just a rib. And I've had my kids ask me this question, and I asked that question as a kid. All right, did that mean that Adam had an odd number of ribs when he was created, and then that's the rib that he decided to take out so he can make Eve? And the answer is no. It's actually not a correct translation, this idea of rib. It actually means the side chamber, out of the side of Adam. And notice this, it wasn't taken out of his foot. So ladies, you were never designed to be under the foot of a man. Hello? You were meant to be comparable out of the side of a man. And notice where it's at, the heart of a man. One heart, one mind, one flesh. That's what we're called to. The body of Christ, the bride of Christ is called to be, and you'll see Paul talk about it, you see Jesus talk about it, you talk about it's this, you, the whole body of Christ is meant to be one flesh, one body, one soul, one mind, one spirit. So out of the side. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Let me hear you say one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Amen. Intimacy. There is never fear. There's no shame in biblical intimacy between a man and a woman. And when we come to this place, when we can be laid bare before him, the bride of Christ can be laid bare before the Father, there should never be shame in this place where we have to hide away from God. But instead, we get to go into a deeper expression of who he is. Now, flip backwards to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Let me hear you say dominion. Let me hear you say rule and reign. Let me hear you say authority. It's all God-given, but that's what he did. Let them have. God takes his dominion, his rule, his reign, and he gives them that over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Let me say this. True masculine, true feminine. Well, you can say it too. Yeah. Say it with me. True masculine, true feminine. That means that both men and women can have the true masculine and true feminine characteristics of God. But notice, biologically, he created a male and female for a reason. That's why biblically we cannot change the word of God. We need to be able to extend what it says. And then it says this, then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Let me hear you say subdue it. Let me hear you say fill it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. In other words, they were created to fill the earth with more humans created in the image of God. Let me say that again. They were empowered, they were created to fill the earth with more humans that were created in the image of God. Why? To extend his kingdom over the entire planet. Which meant that there is a portion of the planet, or a great portion of the planet, that all the creation had not yet experienced the fullness of the kingdom of God. And they were called to extend that at every time and every place in all of history. And they were created to co-reign. Not just co-reign with God. They're called to co-reign together. Out of the side, together, you get the fullest expression of what this looks like. So we're going to talk about a kingdom-empowered woman. That means that any theology, any doctrine, anything that said a woman can never co-reign is actually heresy. I'm almost going to call it what it is. And it's religion that wants to control. Now, is there order in God's design? Yes. Ephesians talks about this, not in my notes, but Ephesians talks about this idea. Ephesians 5:21. So therefore, mutually submit or surrender to one another out of reverence for Christ. That means co-reigning together. And the way I co-reign is my one flesh, I need to surrender to my body, the part of my one flesh, my wife. And that means that, what does this mean? Ladies. So it means submit to him out of because of the lordship of Jesus. It means respect. Respect who he is, respect how God designed. But it does not mean come underneath, and it does not mean come above. It means come out of the side. That's how you're created. That's how we're supposed to reign. And it says, but for husbands, ladies, you got a small portion in that Ephesians chapter. Guys, we got this. It's for every dude that's preached, women, submit. They don't read the rest of the chapter. We've got a lot more responsibility than the ladies do. We are called to empower the women to step into their kingdom created purpose. That means husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Come on. That means you got to be willing to die to yourself. That means as Christ gave himself, did Christ have all authority? Yes. Did he have the capacity to rule and reign himself? Yes. But he submitted himself to death and to sin to what? Save the church, to save the bride. In the same way we're called to do that, men. The greatest calling that I have, besides worshiping the one that I love, is being a husband and a father. The greatest joy I get is when I watch my wife step into her kingdom purpose. And I go, devil, better watch out because she's on the march. Watching my kids step up and become all that God created them to be, the devil better watch out because he's getting taken out. Well, he said it. It's not the preaching, it's him. So they were created to co-reign. Wholeness existed. Let me say wholeness existed. About 30 of you got that. Try this again. Wholeness existed. Why is that important? We live in a broken world. We live in a dysfunctional world. We live with dysfunctional definitions of marriage or sexuality or gender or anything else in the world. Wholeness existed in the kingdom of God in the very beginning. And what did Jesus die for? So that we would be whole in his kingdom. What Jesus died for was what Adam and Eve lost, he restored into even greater measure than we experienced before. But it's called for us to walk in wholeness. And so anytime you have an experience that is not whole, it doesn't make you whole, it doesn't make you feel whole, you don't need to get mad at the person, you don't get mad at the circumstances, you don't need to get mad at God, you don't need to get mad at yourself. What you do need to do is say, question, okay, God, so what is your kingdom purpose here? Because this earthly experience is not making me whole, but you always do. Did you hear me? This earthly circumstances, they're not making me whole, but God, you always make me whole. You make me brave. You make me cause to walk upon the oceans. You make me whole. Ladies, you're called to walk in wholeness. Men, you're called to walk in wholeness. You're still saying, well, what does this have to do with Mother's Day? I'll get there. Adam and Eve's sin and brokenness enters into the world, and no longer was there balance, but there was imbalance in the world. There's always consequences for decisions that we make, but God both restores and he empowers what has been broken. Let me read you this, because I think he gave me some direct language for it. We're called not to live in reaction to oppression, to hurts of the past, or when there's an absence of our hopes being fulfilled. Let me say it again. We are called not to live in reaction to either oppression, either hurts of the past, or when there's an absence of our hope being fulfilled. Instead, we are to live out of the wholeness of what Jesus made possible through his death, burial, and resurrection. We are to live out of this main truth that God rules, and he sees the entire picture before it's been finished. You're called to see according to his vision, not yours. And we can never allow anything other than the Holy Spirit to be our source of life, our source of significance, or our source of truth about any situation. So with that being said, let me say this. I believe that the purpose of every woman is to be a mother. Your kingdom purpose from God was to be a mother from the very beginning. Otherwise, he would not have said, be fruitful and multiply and rule and dominion over the earth. Let me share some stories with you. Our personal story has got some moments where we lived less than whole. And we got married at 21. In fact, this last week we experienced, we celebrated 18 years of marriage. And yeah, clap for her because she's put up with me. We were 21 years old. And when we first started trying to have kids, we were told by the doctors, you can never have kids. One of the most devastating things I've ever heard. And it was hard as a husband because I had a deep desire to be a father. But it was even deeper for watching my wife walk through, I can't have children. And we went through infertility. We did the drugs. We did all that stuff. And month after month after month, it was hope deferred that made our hearts sick. That's what the verse says. And finally got to this point where we just said, God, we're just going to give up on this. We were at that point, we were leading a single parent ministry at our church. We were able to interact with, we had lots of spiritual kids, even at 25 years old, 26 years old. We were able to influence, and we said, God, maybe that's just your purpose for us. Either maybe we'll adopt later on, or this is your purpose. And we went through that. But I want to tell you, if you've gone through infertility, and Mother's Day has been painful for you because you've not been able to have a child, I'm going to tell you this. I might not know your exact hurt because I'm not you, but I do know what it feels like to hear that. I do know what it feels like to do that. And what I want to extend to you today, because I feel like the rest of the message is to empower you as much as it's every single woman. I don't want to throw out the claim that God's intention, his kingdom design for every woman is to be a mother and in your heart going, but I can't be. I want you to experience wholeness. Later on, we had the blessing of getting the news that we were pregnant. We had stopped doing all the fertility drugs. And I remember when we had a miscarriage. It was devastating. Like, God, yes, you did the supernatural. Yes and no. And I remember somebody telling us, well, you know, you're still not parents. And that hurt and it cut deep. And I don't remember who it was that told us it, but there was a couple different people that poured into us and said, no, your baby. Life begins at conception. Why do we fight for life? It's because life begins at conception. And so I know I've got several children in heaven awaiting me when I get there. Didn't matter if they fully developed or not. Doesn't matter. Their significance, let me say this, your significance is not relegated or confined to your physical nature. You weren't created to be a physical being having a spiritual experience. You're a spiritual being having a physical experience. And then a year later, after the first miscarriage, we had the blessing of having our first daughter, Morgan, born. Now she's 13 and a half, going on 33. All you empty nesters, y'all know what that's like. And it's like, dude, what happened? We had a couple other miscarriages in that time frame when we have multiple other children. A year after Morgan was born, we experienced, and I'm not going to go, I've shared it before, but we experienced the death of a child too. Andrew was born at 33 weeks. And went to home with the Lord. My point is this. How sad of a story would it be if that was the end of the story? Right? That what defined our life was tragedy instead of God's goodness. And what I want to tell you is we are living examples of the goodness of God, the kingdom of God coming in such a way that when we were hurting, he brought a supernatural comfort. And there were people in our life who did everything they knew how to do in those moments to be able to bring comfort, but it was soul comfort. You know what I'm saying? Like it was soul to soul, but it wasn't transformative. But the moment I had an encounter with God's comfort that comes from the Holy Spirit, it changed in a moment. I want to share this with you, is that grief does not have to be your lifestyle forever. And in fact, I would propose to you that grief was never intended by the Father. Mourning is, but not grief What's the difference between grieving and mourning? Grieving is you keep it fresh and 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 you stay in that place of grief. Mourning is, I'm mourning. It says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. Mourning causes me to go to the King and say, God, I'm hurting. And he says, I've got a solution for that. My presence. Did it change the circumstances? No. But did it change me? Yes. Did it change Wyatt Kelly's heart? Yes. Because we had an encounter with his goodness. So I want to pray for you right now. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to do any of those things. This is not about pulling people out of a crowd. But I want everyone to close their eyes and bow their heads right now in this moment. And what I'm going to do is I want to pray over you for the goodness of God to come and bring comfort. If you've experienced a miscarriage, or if you've experienced infertility, and your desire is to have children on the earth, yet you don't yet have children on the earth. The Bible says, freely we receive, freely we give. The same comfort I received by the power of the Holy Spirit, I release over you right now in the name of Jesus. I declare over you life, not death, hope, not despair, faith, not doubt. And I declare over you that you are still designed by God to be a kingdom mother. In the name of Jesus, I counter every single lie the enemy has spoken directly to or through other people about your intentions, even well-meaning intentions that said God just needed another angel or he needs... No, I refute that now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that's allowed to speak in this moment. In Jesus' name, we declare this. Amen. Now, if you would like more prayer afterwards, we'll have our altar ministry team. Kelly and I will be up here. We would love to pray with you. Now, here's the good news. That's not the end of the story. That's not the end of this message. God is good. But for every one of you ladies, I want to, if I could look you directly in the eye, I would do it right now. You are designed to be a mother that releases the kingdom of God everywhere you go. And this is the revelation God gave me. And maybe it's because I'm in the role that I'm in. I don't know. But I have my children and I love my children. But God showed me the other day, he says, do you realize that your natural children are also supposed to be your spiritual children? Why do you put them into categories? Why do you take the people that you minister to, say, those are my spiritual kids and these are my kids? And look, I get the difference, okay? But when it comes to his kingdom purposes, should not my natural kids become spiritual kids who accelerate and excel into their kingdom purpose? So I want to tell you, I can theologically and I can with all truth and intention tell you, every single one of you ladies are designed to be a mother in the kingdom of heaven. You have everything you need to succeed. And he will comfort you when you need comfort. And this is one of the mysteries of God that we don't know, we don't understand. But I will never allow mystery to cause me to redefine who he is. And I will never allow mystery to sideline me from fulfilling my kingdom purpose. So I declare over every lady in here and every man, you might have had an experience with, you didn't have a good mom, an absent mom. Maybe you were put down, maybe any of those things, and you have a hurt on Mother's Day because of that. And what I would tell you in this moment is, don't let any of those experiences define for you your kingdom purpose. Don't let those things sideline you from becoming a kingdom man or a kingdom woman. And dare I say, a kingdom father and a kingdom mother, that reproduces, is fruitful and multiply, fills the earth with the goodness of God and touches people's lives. Amen? Luke chapter 4 verse 18 says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's what he's doing right now. To proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I declare over you the acceptable year of the Lord. Maybe you didn't hear that. That would probably been a good place to say amen. I'm almost going to steal from Papa Jack on that one. I declare over you the acceptable year of the Lord in your life. Amen. Like for you. You go, well, are you talking to me? No, I'm not talking to your neighbor. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to every one of you. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I love the way it translates that. And I get that in other translations, like he's coming soon. No, he's near. It's not like he's coming. This is not the second coming. It's talking about he is near now. So don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, which means you have to be in Christ Jesus for you to have the peace that transcends all understanding. How do you have that peace? He takes you and he places you into Christ. He takes you out of the circumstance that you're at and he puts you in Christ. Let's try that again over here. He takes you out of your circumstance and he puts you in Christ. So the peace of God, you're in the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus as you move forward. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In other words, forget the past. You say, well, can I never think about the hurtful situation I went through in the past? No, that's not what it says. But about those things, think about what is true and right and noble. What does God want to speak about those situations? What does he want to speak about your past? What does he want to breathe into it? Don't avoid it. Don't be the ostrich with your head in the sand. But instead, come to the king and let him settle it in your heart. See, Jesus Christ reestablished the wholeness Adam and Eve experienced. He reestablished their calling to co-reign over creation as a representative of the Lord. Both the true masculine and the true feminine characteristics of God are necessary in order to bring balance and wholeness in the world. Open up to Galatians chapter 3 real quick. Verse 26. For you are all children of God. You say, me? Yes, you. You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on the character of Christ like putting on new clothes. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. That doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to get into trouble on this one. That does not mean, if you don't know if you're a man or a woman, that this is a biblical reference to say, I'm a man trapped in a woman's body or vice versa. That's not what it's saying. He's saying that in the kingdom, and specifically in the culture they were doing, men had the preeminence, the authority, and the position, and women were less than. And what he's saying is no longer is that the case in the kingdom, male and female, side by side. Jew in Greek means this, whether you were one of God's chosen people or you were a Gentile, you're now one. Do you hear me? That means there's not division when it comes. And I'm going to say this, we need to lay down our denominational junk. I don't care if you're a Lutheran, a Baptist, a Catholic, a Charismatic, or a Methodist, or whatever. We unify in Christ Jesus. None of those things anymore exist. Kingdom expression is who we are in him. He is the preeminent thought. He's the preeminent expression. Okay? He's wanting to establish things. Says, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. What was the promise of Abraham? You will have so many kids that it will be more than the sands on the seashore or the stars in the sky. You will prosper everywhere you go. That was the promise to Abraham. And it is said, that's the promise to you. And yet the enemy's been lying to you and saying, you can't be a good father, you can't be a good mother, you can't do these things. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. Why would you buy? I love what Jack said last week. It was really good. He was talking about when he was a little kid out in his farm, and I don't remember what you call it, but there was a guy that come by selling gum and candy and stuff like that. And he said, why would he always come back to our place? Because we were always buying what he was selling. Why is the devil can come knocking down your door? Because you buy what he sells. Why is that old lie going to come up? Because you keep buying it. Time to put that lie down and embrace the truth of God that will not only set you free, but it will establish you as a kingdom father and mother in the world. He's looking for men and women who together lay it down aside all those differences and say, but we are one in Christ and we are going to see his kingdom come and his will be done fully, completely in the earth. And the promise of Abraham is now ours. That means now that my three kids on the earth plus my three or four in the three in the in heaven are not the end of my lineage. Do you hear what I'm saying? 1,000 generations. You're part of my lineage. I'm part of yours. Because we're called to multiply, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, reign in the dominion of Jesus. Until every part of planet earth looks like heaven. And leave it to him when he wants to come back. If you're so caught up in, is he coming back now? Is he coming back now? He's coming back now. You're missing what he wants to do now. Is he coming back now? He's like, remember what happened when he was lifted up into the clouds, when he ascended, and their heads are like this. You still see him? He's still a speck up there. I think I see his toe up there. And then there's two angels up here, and they go, guys, what are y'all staring at? He's going to come back the same way you saw him come, but get the business. Get the work. Get to Jerusalem, like he said. He's going to fill you. We need to be about our Father's business, just like he was. I'm going to give you a few examples, and then we're going to pray. Jesus was the ultimate empowerer of women. Remember, Jesus is perfect theology. If you want to understand the intention of the Father, you study the life of Jesus, the Gospels and Book of Acts, and seeing what happens, you will see how he empowers women. Luke chapter 8, verse 1, now it came to pass afterwards that he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women, let me hear you say certain women. And he names a few of them. But the point is this, certain women, and let me go down here. It says, who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had seven demons, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, Susanna, many others who provided support for, or provided for him from their substance. The actual word in there for provision is the same word for deacon in the Greek. Right? Come alongside and a servant. Acts chapter 2, verse 16. Know what you've seen was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. New King says, all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. In those days, I'll pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Jesus is empowering women. Philippians 4:3, and I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. The good news of what? The good news of the kingdom. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. 2 Timothy 1:5, I remember your genuine faith, for you shared the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. Why is this important? Timothy's dad was a Greek unbeliever. Yet, because of the faith of his grandma and the faith of his mother, he came to become an apostle. That's powerful. Don't ever, and Sylvia read it earlier, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Romans chapter 16, verse 1, I love this one. I commend you, our sister Phoebe, sounds like a girl name, who is a deacon, hello, can you say deacon? For those that didn't grow up in a more religious background, that's a big deal. Who's a deacon in the church, welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she's been helpful to many and especially to me. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla is the wife of Aquila. Notice, in this time, the woman, the wife, was never mentioned first before the husband. Yet Paul, intentionally, the same guy that writes the stuff about women in the church, is talking about Priscilla and Aquila. My co-workers, let me hear you say co-workers. What was Paul? An apostle. And he calls him a co-worker. What were Priscilla and Aquila? Apostles. In fact, they were once risked their own lives for me. I'm thankful for them, and so are the Gentile, all the Gentile churches. Give my greetings to the church that meets in their home. Greet my dear friend, where it goes here. Give my greetings to Mary, who has worked so hard for your benefit. Greet Androgynous and Junia, my fellow Jews who were in prison with me, man and a woman. They're highly respected among the apostles and became followers of Christ before I did. Other women leaders, Deborah, the prophetess from Judges, Miriam, the sister of Moses, who was a prophetess, Huldah, the prophetess in 2 Kings 22, Nodiah out of Nehemiah 6:14, Isaiah's wife, which is unnamed, was a prophetess, Isaiah chapter 8. And then in the New Testament, Philip's four daughters were prophetesses, Acts chapter 21, read it. God empowers women. Let me hear you say it. God empowers women. He wants to empower you to be a kingdom woman. Let me read you one more. Consider the reality of this one. Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews for another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you've come to the kingdom, let me hear you say the kingdom, for the time such as this. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, all right, go and gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. That's empowerment. That's empowerment to the holiest. Ladies, every woman stand up right now. And I'm going to say this. If you're a female, that means if you're a teenager, stand up too. This is not just about womanhood. This is about a calling to be a mother in the kingdom. And it doesn't matter if you're 15 or you're 85, you can be a mother in the kingdom of God because that's your God-given purpose. And I'm going to declare over you right now, wherever you're at, you might be in a situation that feels like, can I say something? Can I speak out? What if I speak out? You know, it's not good for me or it's not right for me to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. And as Mordecai told her, well, wait a minute. God has set you up for a time such as this. And have the same faith and the same boldness that Esther had when she got empowered by her uncle. All of a sudden she goes, you know what? Before I was worried about dying, but if I die, I die. But I will die being a kingdom woman. I will die being a kingdom mother. But it's not about how you die, it's about how you live. So hold out your hands and let me pray over you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for every woman that is standing up right now. And I break every generational lie, every generational curse that's been spoken over them or has been passed down the line, and I cleanse it in the name of Jesus. And I declare every one of you is from the tribe of Judah, the lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion roars over you, the lineage of Jesus that says you are no longer a slave, but now you're free, you're empowered. You're called to step into a purpose and a passion that's far bigger than you ever thought was possible before right now. And right now in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, come and fall fresh on every single woman in this place. Even the young ladies, they're so beautiful, so vibrant. Come, Holy Spirit. You're the one that leads into all truth. You're the one that comforts. You're the one that baptizes in power. So we invite you right now, come. Let them have an encounter with you. Wherever they're at, you know their hearts. You know their circumstances. But allow them from this moment on to never walk in fear or shame again, but instead to walk in wholeness as a daughter of the one true King who's been empowered right where she's at to be a mother that brings your kingdom come and your will be done through many spiritual children. I just declare that over you. You will have many spiritual children. You will get to heaven, and after you meet Jesus, there's going to be this long line of people who want to meet you, and they say, I'm your child. Because of what you did, it began with your life of surrendering for a time such as this. You surrendered And God did it. Now, Holy Spirit, I speak to every person, every man and woman in the room right now. And I hear the Father saying just what Jesus said on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I think this goes true. Whether you had a great set of parents or a horrible set of parents or somewhere in between or maybe an absent set of parents, in order for you to step forward into the next area, I hear the Father saying this, forgive them, for they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't. If they would have had a kingdom understanding, they would have never abandoned you. They never would have hurt you. They never would have abused you. And even those who were really, really good, there's always some area where they didn't match up to perfection. Even if that's you right now, would you forgive? On the count of three, I'm just going to invite you to say, I forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I want you to say this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and I choose to forgive them now. All right? On the count of three, one, two, three. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and I choose to forgive them. Now, Holy Spirit, come and fill. Come and redeem. Come and restore. Even broken relationships or absent relationships are going to be restored in your kingdom purpose. And we thank you, God, that you call us yours. And I forbid the enemy from coming to steal, kill, and destroy any part of what you've been sowing into their hearts today. In the name of Jesus, all authority was given to you, which you gave to us. I forbid him in the name of Jesus as a spiritual father of this house. I forbid the enemy to come, steal, kill, and destroy the words of life that you're sowing into our hearts right now. And we gratefully receive your Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, amen. Somebody give him praise.